Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
We are officially eliminated. Yes, it is true. I thought we'd be saying this like round one or round two of the playoffs. Boy, it's going to be a long summer in Calgary. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Yeah, our 98th edition of the show. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you with us here tonight as, we're talking a little bit of Flames hockey again on May 12th, 2021. That's what the calendar says, and the playoffs start next week. And, man, I thought we would be there, but not so much. So, I don't know. The disappointment is here. The disappointment is set in. I've had a ton of thoughts go through my head over the past couple weeks with the disappointment with this. And it is what it is, I guess. It's professional sports. It's part of being a fan. It's part of being a professional sports athlete. Things don't always go the way you plan. And, we can all start hoping next year will be a lot better. And we have a lot to discuss on the show before we drop the puck next year. We're going to have some great episodes coming up, a fan poll episode, an expansion draft episode, a draft preview. We're going to review the draft, an awards show, and, free agency. That'll be interesting. Will a big move happen in Calgary this summer? I don't know. Mixed feelings amongst the fan base on if it will or if it won't. Season 3 is coming up. We'll kick that off in September. We'll see some changes, some new improvements. I got a couple things in the work that we're working on, and we'll make it a little bit better. We're trying to get better every single year. We thank each and every one of you for following us, subscribing to us, and listening to us every week as we talk Calgary Flames hockey. And I am, you know what's got me pissed off right now, though? With the way the division was because of COVID having a North Division, this was the one time that we had a great chance for a playoff version of the Battle of Alberta. And I expected maybe the Oilers to screw that chance up, and it was our own damn Flames that did it. God, that's crazy. All right, let's get going on another episode of Flames Unfiltered. We are going to talk about the rare win we had the other night against Ottawa, which actually pissed me off because a little too late, boys, to be beating Ottawa. And then we'll talk about the 9 UFA Flames players that we have and what do you do with them? Do you sign them, let them go? What we would do with each guy. And then a regular guest joins the show, Adi James. Yeah, he's here to discuss what went wrong with this year's Flames season. We'll dive into a ton of Flames news and news from the North where we'll give the playoff matchups and I'll give you my predictions of who will come out of the North this year. We'll wrap with a listener question about do we rebuild, a total rebuild, or where does this team go? And oh yes, misery is not done yet. We have 4 games against the Vancouver Canucks that are completely irrelevant. Are you going to watch? Or are you not? We'll talk a little bit about that. I hope you enjoy another episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, last Sunday night, Ottawa came to the Scotiabank Saddledome, and yeah, Calgary wins 6-1. One goal in the first, 3 in the second, 2 in the third equals 6, way more than we usually score. Johnny Gaudreau got his 19th in the first, Backlund is 9th in the second period, Tkachuk is 11th in the second, Michael Stone, who's been flat out amazing lately, has got his second goal to make it 4-0. Josh Norris makes it 4-1. In the third, Dylan Dubé adds his 10th of the year to make it 5-1. And Captain Mark Giordano scores on the power play at the midpoint of the third period to make it 6-1. And the Flames beat the Ottawa Senators. The only bad thing is our record with the Senators this year, 3-6. Ouch. All right, Flames fans. We have 9 pending UFAs. And what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do with them? I'm going to roll through and tell you what I would do. I'm not giving you a long synopsis on each player. I will just be short to the point and let you know what I would do with each of these guys. First on the list, Derek Ryan. Currently makes 3.125. I don't think we'll re-sign him. I hope we do, because I love the depth he gives us at the center position. He's responsible, he wins faceoffs, and he's everything you want in a heart and soul player. But if we re-sign him, he's going to have to take a pay cut. And the number I was thinking, $2 million a year, 2-year max, and I would probably consider re-signing Derek Ryan. Josh Levo, $875,000. There were times I liked Levo. There were times I didn't like him. I have a hard time believing that we will sign him based on his frequency of being a healthy scratch. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it, and I don't think I would. Buddy Robinson, I give the big no right away. I don't think we'll see him back. Brett Ritchie. Now, he's big. He skates well. He has a hard time scoring. I don't know. I you know, all the price tags, it's $700,000. Let's just put it to this way. I hope we are in a better situation where we don't have to re-sign him, if that makes sense. Joachim Nordstrom. $700,000 is what we had him for last year, and I know I'm probably going to get criticism. People are going to flip out on Twitter. People are going to email me and tell me that I'm not smart. I would re-sign him. Now, I wouldn't re-sign him for any higher dollar, and I wouldn't re-sign him for more than a year, but I would re-sign him. And the reason I would is he was a top-end penalty killer for this team, which is so critical. And this team actually had a good penalty kill. And in what division, like the North, when you have power plays like Edmonton, who's got Connor McDavid and Draisaitl and these firepower up there, you need, you know, a strong, strong penalty kill. The Oilers aren't going away. They're in our division again next year. Vancouver's power play, I think, will be improved. And we're going to need a guy like Joachim Nordstrom to do that. Now, if he could just chip in with a couple goals, I would feel a whole lot better. But I think that he would be a good signing. Michael Stone, $700,000. Yes, I know we're still paying him from his original contract we bought out. But down the stretch, he was a top D man. He's got the hardest shot on the team. And I get every impression that Daryl Sutter loved him because he used him over Valimaki, over Shillington, over Connor Mackey. And I feel, based on him living in Calgary, wanting to be in Calgary, that we could get him at a really good price, like probably a $700,000 deal again. Nikita Nesterov, that was an experiment. Frequently a healthy scratch. I think you let him go. Louis Domingue, I mean, I wouldn't be pissed if we re-signed him, but is he the backup we want? I don't see him back in Calgary. And one for sure that I would not re-sign would be Zach Rinaldo. I don't hate Zach Rinaldo, but I just don't know that he's the guy that's going to help this franchise move forward, and I don't see us re-signing him. Joining Flames Unfiltered now, he is a regular on the show, Audie James, back to talk a little Flames hockey now that we are... unfortunately, officially eliminated. Welcome to the show, Audie.
Thank you. Unfortunately, though, are you sure it's unfortunate? Did you want to watch any more of this team and what happened this year? Like, you say unfortunate, no. But I feel like it was almost a blessing in disguise. It's almost a gift that we don't have to watch this go on any longer.
Knowing where we're at now, yes. Knowing when we dropped the puck at the beginning of the season, we would be doing this show with four games to go in the season, saying we're officially eliminated, I think would have sent us both through the roof in anger.
Oh, well, I just think about one of the last times that you and I talked on the show, and that was
right after before
the season. It was before the season started, right?
No, we talked mid-season. We talked right after the Daryl Sutter hire.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yep, that's right.
And
yeah,
we were both pretty damn excited and pretty – I think both of us were actually pretty pretty
optimistic.
Optimistic that we would find a way.
Yeah, and, you know, you see a guy like Sutter come in with his pedigree and his resume, and you can't help but be hopeful.
No.
Especially given the circumstances leading up to what happened, right? We were all quick to jump on Jeff Ward. But looking at it
but
now...
But I think we had a good reason there.
We did, yeah, we did. But looking at it now, like, how much of it was really Jeff Ward?
Well, you know, here's the way I took the approach with Daryl Sutter. I thought, this is going to at least tell us... It's going to be very telling. Either the team's going to turn it around and we're going to make the playoffs, which both of us kind of were pretty optimistic. But on the flip side of that, I knew that if it did not improve, which it didn't really, we were going to know what we had.
And yeah, it was very telling.
I think we do know now what we have.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it's a team that clearly – is lacking a lot of things, and maybe there are some personnel on the roster that are expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we can almost have the conversation too about what Brad Treliving needs to do if it's Brad Treliving that ends up making these calls. So, well, I don't know. There's a lot that we can kind of dissect and dive into here.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So,
let's do it.
Do you think that Brad Treliving will be back?
Yes.
So do I.
But I don't think he should.
See, I'm gonna actually disagree
a
little bit.
Counter me, aren't you?
I am. I'm gonna counter you.
All right.
And here's why. I'm not happy with him. I think last year we learned enough to make some key roster changes. But he did in the fact that he brought Markstrom, Tanev, which I think both of us thought were really good moves. But we really didn't change the core.
No. And hindsight being what it is, like at the time, we were ecstatic about the Markstrom signing. Oh. The Tanev signing at the time, I think we were both kind of on the fence about that. I don't think we were I definitely wasn't. I can't recall if you were.
I was cautiously optimistic.
Like right, but now look at how good of a signing that turned out to be. Right,
you know
arguably
what
the best defenseman on this team next to Noah Hanifin.
Yeah, you know why I liked that move initially? I wasn't like over the moon about it, but I liked it because I thought it was a grit guy like Hamonic that had a little higher upside than Hamonic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt safe with it, I guess. I guess that'd be the best term. I felt safe with it.
I think a lot of people were scared by the number because he did come at a bit of a price tag, but that's, you know, you have to spend. If you want to land a big fish, you got to almost overspend.
When you look at his price tag now, though, knowing a year in now, I think it's fine.
Worth every yeah. penny.
Yeah.
Every penny.
I agree.
But now looking at it too, I'm almost of the opinion that, you know, Markstrom, and this is no knock at Jacob Markstrom because he could arguably be, you know, he was good this year. I don't think he was great.
No.
I think he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But when is this team going to get scoring? You know, when was the last time this team added, whether it be via free agency, via trade, or via draft, where they've brought someone in who is a goal scorer or a 1C? Like, there's clear needs that have to be addressed, and I'm fearful that Treliving threw all of his eggs in one basket last summer.
You know, I think he always has wanted a 1C. I just don't know a team that would give up a 1C.
Well, we have kind of have one now, but I don't know if I want to talk about that because I think the likelihood of us acquiring said player is probably slim. I'm of the opinion that, well, Jack Eichel, everybody on social media just seems to think, all the Flames fans seem to think that Jack Eichel's coming to Calgary.
Do you think that would be a good move?
That's just it. Well, it's hard to forecast because I don't really even know what the price tag is. It's going to be steep. I mean, I think so.
Well, I originally thought so too. But the more I've listened, and the more I listened to a little Buffalo talk radio the other day, if you can believe that.
Sounds boring, but okay.
I know, but I just wanted to get, I was working and I just had my AirPod in and I wanted to get a little bit of like hometown take.
Right.
Because I think if some outside fans listen to the Fan 960 in the morning, they would be like, oh, really? They feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to it and they think that the price tag isn't going to be as high as what the rest of the league fan bases are saying. And the reason is there's a couple of reasons. How safe are general managers going to feel about the injury, the surgery? And that's a hell of a price tag. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, no, I can agree with the price tag thing. I think that I don't think it scares as many people as we might think. Because I still think that there's going to be 31 other franchises that are at least going to make a phone call to Kevin Adams to at least inquire, right?
Oh, I think so.
And even looking at it, like I did, I was looking today like at Cap Friendly just to see like some of these teams, like, and the most intriguing one to me, I think, and this is, we're kind of getting off the topic of Flames a bit, but the most intriguing team to me is the Boston Bruins. And there's a way that they can do it, and I don't know if they're going to do it, but like teams can do it. That's what I'm trying to get at is if teams really truly want this guy, they're gonna do it, right?
So let me ask
you this then before we go any further, as I have my steam ripper in my hand, you know I mean business. let me ask you this then: who would you rather have and pay? And I keep the term out of it for a little bit just because.
Oh, don't do
Matthew Tkachuk's qualifying offer is going to be $9 million.
I'd rather have Jack Eichel in a heartbeat.
Okay, so I think that tells you kind of where, and I'm with you. And this is nothing against Matthew Tkachuk. I think this was clearly not a great year for him, but I think that he can be the heartbeat of this team. I don't know what goes on in the locker room, but I kind of have a bit of a sneaky suspicion that things aren't too hot. We're not in there, and I know Steinberg's not in there because there's no scrums or anything like that, but I get a suspicion, a sneaky, sneaky suspicion that there's a bit of hostility between teammates and Matthew Tkachuk.
I'm with you.
And to an extent, the franchise and Matthew Tkachuk. So I don't wonder
explain that one to me.
Sorry?
Explain what you mean by the franchise.
I mean, like, the way I kind of look at it, we had that players-only meeting, right? And that was kind of the turning point of when we saw Matthew Tkachuk go from the wrecking ball causing a havoc, you know, throwing his fists around to basically a very soft version of Matthew Tkachuk, right?
Being
there was no denying
invisible.
That. He was invisible, yeah. He was definitely not the player that Flames fans and hockey fans in general have grown accustomed to watching, right? This player has clearly taken a step back, and I think that it was the Muzzin flipping the puck and the players-only meeting that was the nail in the coffin. Now, they have this players-only meeting. The reason I say the franchise is because I don't think that they did him any favors. If truly, like, I almost feel like the message came from the GM or someone within the organization to the leadership group or to a select group of players. And that's what kind of triggered. Again, I have no idea. This is just speculation to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do wonder, though, if the message came from more than just the players.
See, I don't think it did. And I've always had this, like, gnawing feeling in my gut that I could name the players that just are tired of Matthew Tkachuk.
Well, we heard a snippet from Spittin' Chicklets, where mm-hmm. Johnny Gaudreau was on. And I think you're familiar with the clip where he said something along the lines of, oh, well, that's just Matty. It's kind of what he does, right? And you can almost tell in the tone of his voice that – but did you also notice, too, and this might have no relation whatsoever, but Johnny Gaudreau kind of picked it up after that players only meeting and as Tkachuk kind of stopped with the antics?
Well,
like
sure.
I think Johnny had a great year this year, and I know we're hard on him.
We both are. I thought
we're very
fine.
Hard on him. I think he had a great year. Not well, great, but I no. think he had definitely a better year.
So is he good enough in your mind this year to earn himself a re-sign with a pay increase?
No increase. I don't think he's earned an increase.
No,
but he's
me
also
either.
Not going to sign for an increase.
You don't think so?
Or, I mean, sorry, he's not going to take, I don't think he's going to take the same. I think he's expecting an increase.
For sure. For sure. Right? That's why I think we need to move him. That's why, how do you go to ownership and be like, yeah, we're going to give this guy a pay raise?
And that's where Flames fans are a bit delusional. And social media, like, I got to bite my tongue a lot because everybody's saying, you know, we have to re-sign this guy. You know, give this guy an extension. Give this guy a letter. Blah, blah, blah. This, that, and the other. It's not that simple.
And I think he was good this year. I'm mature enough to admit after all the criticism I've given, I thought he was good this year. Not great, good.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can't justify it. But on the same tone, I can't justify giving Matthew Tkachuk more than what he's making now. He's probably overpaid right now. And I bet you if you had a list of top 50 overrated players in the league, he'd be on the list.
I would, yeah, definitely. Like, without a doubt, he would be this year. And that qualifying offer, that's kind of why, like, just to loop it back to Eichel, that's why I posed the question to you of who would you rather, right? Like, does that trade start with Tkachuk plus this, plus this, plus this, plus this? Do you make that trade?
Oh, yeah.
If Tkachuk is the focal point?
There is not.
I say yes.
You know what? There is three players in my mind that I wouldn't say you're not getting.
You want to be
Markstrom, Tanev, and Lindholm.
Lindholm, yeah.
You're not getting those three. We'll be open for discussion on anybody else. And I would start with Matthew Tkachuk because I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is the piece that gets Jack Eichel. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. But I
think
also,
that's a different trade.
I would love to see those two play together. Like, there's just something about me that. I want to see Jack Eichel center line with Gaudreau.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
So what?
But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves because I don't even think he's coming to Calgary.
I don't either.
There are way better suitors out there that are going to give a better offer. He's not coming to Calgary.
No, it's the same as when the whole hubbub about Taylor Hall was going around. I'm like, I don't think that's happening. I know he's from Calgary.
He's smart, he's staying in Boston, then he's going to take, you know, maybe a little bit of a lesser cut, but he's thriving there, by the way.
Has Taylor Hall ever taken a little bit lesser cut?
No, God, no. He's always worried about the next paycheck.
Yes, I know.
Brutal.
So when you
frustrating because he's so damn good on Boston, but go on.
When you look at this season,
mm-hmm.
what would you say went wrong? Where do you start? Because I made a list of seven things that went wrong. What are some of your thoughts?
Oh, man. You're really putting me on the spot. There's a lot. Like you said, there was a lot of things that went wrong. I think it's easier to point out what went wrong than to point out what went right.
Yes.
I think that the team was mismanaged from the start in terms of – we talked about line juggling a lot with Jeff Ward. And that was probably – honestly, I think that was a good chunk of kind of what started the whole process of what went wrong. The refusal to take certain guys out of the lineup and put certain guys in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll tell you right now, I love the guy. I think he's still got a bright future ahead of him. But Yusuf Alamaki did nothing this year to justify the amount of ice time he got.
He's on my list.
He was very unimpressive to me.
He did not
I think
take the step I anticipated him taking. He was a minus six, 9 points in 47 games. I expected a much better year. Now, we're probably being hard on him based off his experience in the league, but I would agree that it made my list of one of the things that did go wrong this year.
Yeah, and that's, I think I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense that he did come back from an injury and all that stuff, but at the same time, he was lighting up that league. He was playing in the Finnish league, was he not?
Tearing it up.
He was running away with it. Like he looked and a lot of Flames fans jumped on the wagon, myself included. And I'm going to say I'm pretty sure you did too.
I had visions of him being a Calder candidate.
Right, and me too. I thought for sure. I'm like, this guy's going to take a huge step this year. I was right. It just wasn't a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
He took a massive step back and. I think that I'm not putting all of the blame on him, but he would definitely be on the list. We talked about Matthew Tkachuk already. He's definitely part of the problem. The line juggling and mismanagement, call it asset mismanagement from the start of the year, like, bringing guys in from the taxi squad, stuff like that. When Derek Ryan was hurt, mismanaging stuff, down the middle too, and it just goes to show you that the center depth on this team is atrocious.
I think we have some good centers, and I think we have good depth. We're just missing the top guy.
Yeah,
you put in a top center, and then we got Backlund, Monahan, and Ryan behind it. Like, ooof,
that's
what
I was
very
saying.
Good.
That's what I was about to say. Like, there's a lot of people that would be very happy if Michael Backlund was their 3C. A lot of teams would be very happy if they were in that situation.
And I put him down as a very disappointing year. He's minus nine goals, 50 games played. He had a 6.8 shot percentage. Yeah, not cutting it for Michael Backlund.
There were a lot of people that took a step back. I'm going to say Dylan Dubé definitely took a step back, but and I'm not even surprised, but very disappointed in the captain.
He looked old, didn't he?
Father Time remains undefeated.
Yeah.
It's, Father Time never loses. And, it's going to pain me to say because I really do like the guy, but I hope to God that Seattle sees something in him.
No.
That.
I disagree here.
Why? You're holding – yeah, because you're sentimental. You're holding the value of
– No, here's my game plan. All right? And you tell me if I'm crazy because I want that from you.
Okay. You know I'm not afraid to tell
No,
you.
I know. And that's why our conversations are so good is because we do call each other out. I want them to take Lucic. And here just – I know. But here's why. It's purely a numbers thing and a term thing. It's purely that, because I will give him a ton of credit. He looked like a bad beer leaguer the first 2 weeks of the season, and by the end of the year, I had no problem with the minutes he was getting at all.
You look like a bad mother bleeper by the end of the year.
You know,
like he would be on my positive list if I'm being truthful.
I would agree. But here's my thing. I don't know that he could be on our positive list 2 years in a row. And so my fear in that says taking 5.25 off the cap for the next 2 years is humongous. It's halfway to Eichel. Think about that. So that being said, you keep Gio, but you minimize his situational minutes.
Which is what we said the first time we talked before the season. That was the biggest thing.
Cannot keep throwing him out there in every situation.
But they didn't do it. They're missing again. It comes back to asset management.
But that's
they did
the
a piss problem. Poor job of, and I almost feel for Rasmus Anderson because I think that, I'm still really high on him.
I like him. He had a horrible year.
I think he
was minus 10.
He was not very good this year either.
He's horrible. But I think he can be great. But we cannot keep looking at Gio on the bench and being like, we need this, because he's not physically capable of doing that. But he would be a great 5-6 defenseman and a leader, right? No one's questioning his leadership. We're questioning what he can do at his age. So you limit his minutes. And if you don't have to, maybe we don't play him every single game. But you minimize him, and you lose the Lucic contract, and I think we'll be fine next year. And you put Rasmus Anderson, and you move him up the depth chart. I'm super impressed with Hanifin. I loved what Tanev did. I'm not so sure that I'm not, honestly, I'm totally in love with Michael Stone this year.
I was going to say, Michael Stone's about to earn another contract, isn't he?
And he damn well
deserves it. And he earned another contract. He will earn this one. He was phenomenal.
I know what, I've always been high on Michael Stone, and when we re-signed him after buying him out, I was like, this is good, because he's I always look at him as a great safety net. He's one of the few players that can be off for like 10, 12 games and step in and look like he didn't miss a beat.
Well, look exactly what happened. He was playing with Stockton.
Yeah.
And had the recall, and it was like he never missed it. He looked like a better player than I've ever seen him wearing the Flaming C. Yeah. So that was the best Michael Stone we've seen as a Calgary Flame.
So what if we had, you know, I'm not saying give him like top end minutes or anything like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying, like, I just think we need to manage Geo better. And having that cap flexibility with Lucic gone just is huge. If I could have Lucic at $1.2 million, I'm all over it. But I can't. 5.2 or 5.
But do you think, though, that, like, and I, you know, I agree with you because, as you know, I love Milan Lucic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The cap hit is definitely, it's painful, especially in a time where cap space is a luxury.
It's probably more of a premium than ever before.
It's valuable. Like, it's really valuable to have cap space, especially, you know, when, you know, this team is apparently in, or not, we don't know if they're in, but there's speculation that they could land a $10 million Jack Eichel, right? Cap space is very valuable. But I wonder, like, maybe I'm thinking about it too much and I'm reading too much into it. Obviously, you know, Lucic waives his no-move clause so that he can become, you know, expendable at the expansion draft. Does Seattle try to strike up a deal with Calgary? Because obviously Calgary wants, they want him, or they want them to take him in Milan Lucic. They want him.
So you're suggesting then
what is... What I'm suggesting is Seattle knows that this is Calgary's game plan. We'll expose Lucic. And Seattle's got to hit the cap floor anyway, so they're going to be taken on contracts like that. Like, mm-hmm. It's no problem. But it's more valuable for Calgary to lose Lucic than it would be for Seattle to take him. So I wonder if maybe a deal is struck up beforehand where the Flames end up, you know, giving more assets away so that they take the Lucic contract on, because they're basically helping them out.
I agree. So what do you think they would have to give? Because I agree with you. I agree. I don't think they just take Lucic and say thank you.
No,
very much.
And that's what I mean. Like, it might be easier said than done. That, you know, oh, they'll just take Lucic, but Seattle's gonna be strategic. They're gonna be able to take as much as they want from teams that are struggling and have bad contracts like the Lucic deal. So what it looks like, I have no idea. I wish I would have looked at some of the moves Vegas made prior to.
Yeah, that would have been...
Because they would have been a great model as to, you know, especially in terms of recency.
So what does this sound like to you? Lucic and the second rounder we got for Bennett.
The second round pick or the player?
Oh, good call.
The player that was the second round pick.
Yeah, I would say they'd probably want the pick more than the player.
Yeah, that might get it done.
I think that gets it done. So then,
yeah,
then
I don't know how it works.
Critics in
Calgary.
It
wouldn't be a trade involving Lucic.
No.
They would have to do a trade on a separate deal on the side, right?
Yeah.
And they would just take Lucic an expansion.
It would be a trade on the side. It would be, we would trade them our second round or maybe even the third rounder we got from Montreal possibly. I don't know what the price, I got a feeling it would be a second. But let's say we trade them the second for a seventh and the term that they take Lucic.
Do you think that gets it done?
I think so. Well, I think so because I put
do
it
in. Do they ask
terms.
For like a third and a Shillington?
I'd be fine with that. Be fine with that, would you?
I think they would want. I think they want a pick and maybe a prospect that might have some upside.
I think Oliver Shillington has upside.
I think so, too. He's been playing pro hockey since he was 16.
Don't know when or if we'll ever
see it. I just don't know if we're ever going to see it. It's like the Sam Bennett thing. Are we ever going to see that side of Oliver Shillington? Or is he going to go to Seattle and win
North? Be a top six, yeah.
Right? We don't know. Because we haven't seen it. And the longer we wait, we're not sure if we're going to.
I didn't think we were going to get off track like this, and I'm good with this, but I got a question for you.
Sure.
Why does everybody in Calgary feel like we're so strong depth-wise on the farm? And why do I keep hearing this? Because I look at us and I'm like, what? Like, who are we? Like, yeah. Who do we have that's like, I can't wait to see him play?
Well, I would like, and for me, it's the Peltier, it's the Zeri, like the two big names from the past couple of years.
Okay.
But I'm not lining up, willing to, spend my life savings to see him knock the door down in the NHL in his first game. But I don't know. A lot of Flames fans are, and like I said, every fan base has this group of fans, but there's a lot of delusional fans out here lately. People thinking that these players are just going to be able to make the jump from the Q to the NHL like it's a seamless transition.
I know.
Like these players don't need to develop. And I'm going to bring you back to one player who recently was moved out, and I feel like his development with the Flames ultimately led to his demise, and that is Sam Bennett. I think that the Flames rushed Sam Bennett into the NHL and ultimately, put him – and that's the thing, too. You got to think about who you're surrounding the guy with.
Totally.
Right? You're gonna bring him in and he's going to play on the fourth line with Milan Lucic and Derek Ryan?
I've always had the complaint on the Sam Bennett thing. I've always been a Sam Bennett fan. I've wanted to string him up many nights, but I've always been a proponent of Sam Bennett. I'm not just saying that. You can go back and listen to the other podcast before he was moved. But the dude never got put on a line that wasn't broke up within five games.
Exactly. The chance wasn't there. The development wasn't there. And I'm going to, make another example with, not the Flames, but the Ottawa Senators, because they drafted Curtis Lazar, mm-hmm. 15th or 14th overall, whatever it was in the 2014 draft. And he was poised, it would have been 2014?
14.
Yeah, 14. Yeah. He was poised to be, he won the Memorial Cup. He was captain, obviously was captain of Team Canada during his tenure as a Senator. But either way, this player had a high ceiling, and they brought him directly to the NHL from junior, and he played on the fourth line with Chris Neal and Chris Kelly.
Yeah. The guy's not
going to be a goon and a geriatric.
Yeah.
And you expect this 18-year-old to
excel,
and obviously he had a pretty good year with Buffalo this year before his trade to Boston, but he definitely didn't turn out, at least yet. I mean, we're losing a little bit of hope here. He's getting, he's 25 or 26 now, but he didn't turn out nearly as well as everybody projected him to be. And I feel like development, like these people don't realize that players need to develop. We shouldn't be rushing guys in, because then those fans will be the first to crap all over him
mm-hmm.
when he's not performing to their expectations because the team jumped him way too soon. And I don't know. That's just my take. I think we're kind of on the same wavelength here.
I totally agree. Like, I'm serious. Like, if we as a fan base would have pretended that Sam Bennett was a third-round pick, would we have a different Sam Bennett today in Calgary? I don't know.
I don't know.
I still don't believe he was given the opportunity in Calgary to succeed.
Yeah, I think
that, I know a lot of people argue that.
Mismanagement.
They'll argue that 100%. With me, but
no, I'm with you. But it was mismanagement. Like we talked about mismanagement. The whole year was mismanaged. Unfortunately, Sam Bennett was mismanaged his entire career as a Calgary Flame. And, I'm happy to see him doing what he's doing in Florida. I think it's great to see, and you love to see a guy with a smile on his face, you know, loving what he does, playing with great line mates on a great team that could be a dark horse to win a Stanley Cup. So
I'm kind of cheering for him.
I'm 100% rooting for him.
You know,
100%. You love to see it.
Two other things that I had kind of on a list of things that went wrong this year, and you know, we talked about the three UFAs that Treliving signed in the offseason with Levo, Nordstrom, and Simone. And I think me and you agreed on a previous show that if we could just get one of them to pan out, we were good.
We did, yep.
So do you think we got any of them to pan out?
Not even maybe.
See, now
I would make a bit of a case for maybe Levo.
Okay. See, I would make a bit of a case for Nordstrom.
But I would also make a little bit of a case for Nordstrom because I'm biased and because I said that, and I remember on the show before the season when we talked about these free agents and how high up I was on Joakim Nordstrom.
You were. You were very high.
And, well, I'll eat crow. He did not pan out the way I wanted him to.
No.
Or as anybody really wanted him to. But I was very high on the player. I thought that's, you know, I thought he brought some upside and depth to the, you know, to the lineup that was missing. I didn't think he was going to bring scoring power. I thought that he was going to be a great penalty killer, which, you know, he turned out to be, which was good. And I thought that he was a very disciplined player. I think he played the right way. But again, like you're a creature of your surroundings and your environment too, and the amount of times that he was, you know, up and down the lineup or changing line mates here and there. Again, a lot of this roots back to the amount of mismanagement throughout this entire year.
You're right.
We could be in a playoff spot right now if the Flames had rolled four solid lines from start to finish. Change them out when there's an injury or whatnot.
Something.
But the amount of flip-flopping and, you know, let's go back to Monahan, Gaudreau, and Lindholm. All right, never mind, scratch that. Let's have Lindholm center the first line with Dubé and Mangiapane. Actually, never mind. Let's interchange, you know, Mangiapane with Tkachuk. It's a lot.
It was terrible.
It's tiring. These players never have a chance to really catch up and develop chemistry.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing, and it's an intangible that people don't realize, right? Chemistry is a real thing.
It's huge.
So, I don't know. There was a lot that went wrong, but I don't think it's all on the players. I think a lot of it has to do with the way this team was coached from the beginning. You know, we saw some light with Daryl Sutter. I think that this team definitely played better under him.
Mm-hmm.
It may not have shown it in the results.
I think specific players played better.
Right. Andrew Mangiapane.
Yeah.
Is a Daryl Sutter guy.
I think you know, if I had to like look at the roster right now and say, what guys do you think Sutter liked? I would say, here's my guesses, and you can let me know who you think. I think Sutter liked Nordstrom. I think Sutter liked Mangiapane. I think Sutter liked Derek Ryan. I think he liked Lindholm. I think he liked Lucic. I think he liked Backlund. And I think that's all. Oh, on the back end, I guess I got to do that.
I would say like Tanev. And
I think he liked, I still think he liked Gio too. I think he liked Gio, Hanifin, Tanev, and Stone. I don't think he was a Valimaki.
He's not a Valimaki guy. He made that, you know, he almost made that very clear.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what, that's something I like about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid to tell it, you know,
like
tell the media how he feels in the scrum after the game about a certain player. He doesn't shy back from that stuff.
But this fan base was, like, freaking losing their mind that he, like, kind of boo-hooed Valimaki. I'm like,
what did Valimaki do to, you know?
To not get boo-hooed.
Yeah, he earned every piece of criticism that he had this year. And, again, people are going to come at us for saying, you know, oh, you know, he's still young. He didn't have enough, you know, experience, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But he didn't do anything to help his case this year.
Not at all.
Not once.
And it pains me to say that because I've looked so forward. He was the one prospect I was, like, more excited for than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I still may be. Like, I still may be. Like, I'm not.
There's still lots of time. He's young. He's young, and he's got nothing you know, he's got nothing but an uphill trajectory as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
He can certainly change our minds.
Absolutely. And you know what? The final clincher to the nail in the coffin this year was a 3-6 record to the Ottawa Senators. How does
I'm not gonna name a name here, but I hope that this guy listens to the show because he tweeted, and I'm not gonna name names, but he knows who he is. He knows who he is, and I'm gonna get upset because this guy and you can never and Eric Francis did it too, and Eric Francis needs to be fired. He is a disgrace and a joke to sports journalism and media. But aside from that, Eric Francis, if you're listening, then yeah,
thanks find for another listening.
Career. Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll find another career. But this guy tweeted a chart with every Canadian team and how many games left they had against Ottawa, and basically said that you know the Flames, and it was near the beginning of the year when the Flames were on a bit of a slump. And this guy said, "Look, you know what? I'll take this slump because at least we can feast on Ottawa." They hadn't played Ottawa yet at this point. Keep that in mind. So his metric was GLAO, games left against Ottawa. And I don't know why people, and I'm going to get a little defensive for Ottawa here because I don't think they get enough respect.
No,
I don't know why people sleep on this team and make them the free space on the bingo card.
They bust their ass, man. They work harder than the Flames.
They won't outskill you, but they will outwork you. And they outworked every win they got this year was because they outworked the opponent.
They did it against the Flames. They outworked us all the time.
And the best thing about it, and Ottawa's going to be so good one day, I can't wait for it because I've always had a soft spot for Ottawa. Their entire team is comprised of you know, young up-and-coming players. And these hard-working, gritty wins is only developing these players so much better.
Mm-hmm.
On a broad scale. You know, look at Stützle. He was incredible this year. I have my opinions on Kirill Kaprizov and being, you know, the same age as me and winning Rookie of the Year, but c'est la vie. Stützle was outstanding. Josh Norris was outstanding. Brady Tkachuk was always great. Thomas Chabot, like this whole roster through and through. And Ottawa's going to be a scary team. But to bring it back to the Flames, the games left against Ottawa metric is what really pissed me off to start before the Flames even
it
played
wasn't
Ottawa.
Me. I didn't do that, you know.
It wasn't you. It was not you.
No.
It was somebody else who ended up inevitably blocking me on Twitter because I called them out. But what's up, Tony?
You know, how sad is it, though, that how many years with this core are we into this where me and you still have the conversation about work ethic?
How many years have I been coming back? Is this season 3?
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we
always talk about work ethic.
I know.
One of the big, you know, and this team just, and I almost hoped that Daryl Sutter, you know, we got a glimpse of it in their first practice when he bag skated them. And I'm like, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's instilling, you know, he's disciplining these guys and making them bag skates and hopefully, you know, lighting a spark under the rear ends, but they fell flat. It was like the media was like, oh, he's got to bag skate them. And, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll bag skate them. And then that was kind of it, you know? But the work ethic, I think we're going to see a different Daryl Sutter next year coming in halfway and kind of picking up the pieces.
I think so too.
It's not exactly like he can't really implement his system, but we're going to see like a very different Daryl Sutter next year.
I think so too.
A firm believer.
I got one question and I got one playoff thing to go through with you and I'll let you take it under your evening. Will a core member be moved?
It's so hard to say, Brad. I want to say yes, but I don't believe it, you know? Like,
I know.
Like, would you be surprised? Like, would you be surprised if they did or didn't?
Well, I think there's every intention to try. I just don't know, you know, with the cap and the COVID and the I don't know if the move's going to be out there to have. I mean, I just don't know if it's out there.
Look, if Jack Eichel is on the table, then you got to think a core member's going the other way. And it's probably Kachuk. If they really want to take a big swing, then yes, a core player will get moved. But I feel like Brad Treliving just falls into the same kind of state every year where it's like, okay, you know, we just need to kind of fluff out our bottom six, and then, you know, we're kind of set. If they could have took the money on Levo, Nordstrom, and Simone and went and got one guy, yeah, I'd have been happy. You know, like, and that's kind of like how I'm rooting it back to. But I don't want to see, like, I'd love to, I'd actually think I'd really like to see, you know, a league minimum deal for Ryan Getzlaf in the bottom six. I think I'd like to see that. But aside from that, I don't think there's many players that I want to sign to league min deals and just fluff out the bottom six like he's done the past couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know, and to bring it back to your point, I can't really answer because I want to see a core player moved, but I'm not confident that Brad's going to do it because he hasn't really yet, has he? Who's the biggest piece he's moved out?
Dougie Hamilton. Not a core piece.
Right, definitely not, especially given like the whole locker room thing and, you know, not really fitting on the team and whatnot, but museum boy. But look at him. He could have won a Norris last year if he didn't get hurt.
What do you think that this fan base would lose their mind if Matthew Tkachuk went down the road?
I'm getting conflicted messages on Twitter. I see a lot of people that would be.
I'll tell you, I
wouldn't personally. I think Matthew Tkachuk's a great guy.
So do
I. And I have all the respect in the world for him. He's a class act. He's always been great.
I think
on
he's
and off
a great
the
ice, guy.
In the community. He's a great team guy.
Mm-hmm.
But how long has this team, and we've talked about this before, Brad, how long has this team needed a 1C? Who was their last 1C?
Joel Neuendijk.
I know who you're going to say. Neuendijk, right. Because we talked about this before. When was the last time this team had a 1C? Joe Neuendijk.
That was
the opportunity that was a while ago.
I know.
The opportunity is here. And if Matthew Tkachuk is the focal point, then you got to do it.
I think you got to do it.
And the crappiest part, the thing that would make me, you know, kind of a little sad is if we see this trade happen and we get a better group dynamic.
Yep.
You know, maybe, and I don't want to say it, but maybe it's almost needed.
Yep. Oh, you know? I think so. I think you're completely right.
And it pains me to say because I really think the world of Matthew. And
so
I think
do
he's a great
I.
Guy
I,
and he's
I do
a great
too.
Kid. But
it changes everything then.
It does. And then you know what? Maybe you know he's gonna. He'll sign his QO. I don't think he's gonna stick around in Buffalo for, you know, the rest of his career. Maybe they, you know, try to flip him for assets or whatever they want to do with him. But it walks himself into UFA. So
yeah.
And then he's free to go wherever he wants. So
please not Edmonton.
Yeah. and please, for the love of God, don't give Ottawa any more ammo to be a better team somewhere down the line.
Oh,
so,
man.
With all the cap space in the world.
Two questions and we'll get out of here. I need your prediction for just the North in the playoffs.
So Montreal, Toronto, I got the Leafs.
Okay.
At the Leafs coming out of that one. Edmonton, Winnipeg, I got Edmonton. I think that, you know, Hellebuck's been good lately, but he's been too streaky this year, and I feel like this is the time when he's going to start to slump. I think there was a little bit of hostility, but I think that Paul Maurice is kind of getting flack. I think he's a great coach.
I think he's wonderful.
But he's made some questionable sits this year. I remember Mark Scheifele actually talking about his bench when he got benched. You know, saying it was completely unjustified, he didn't understand it, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. So anyway, long story short, I also think that the Oilers, I think that playoff Mike Smith, if he can play anything like, you know, he did with the Flames or anything like he did this regular season, then I actually could see Edmonton maybe even coming out of the North.
Yeah.
And it pains us to say on this particular show, but I could see it happening and I wouldn't even be surprised, really. But yeah, I've got Edmonton, Toronto for a division final.
Yep.
And then coming out of the North, if it's Edmonton, Toronto, if they both play as well as I think they're going to, then it's going to be A, incredible must-watch hockey, and B, a coin flip as to who makes it onto the conference finals.
Yeah, for sure. Final question. Are you watching the final four Flames games with the Canucks?
Absolutely not. No, sorry, Bob. I will not be watching those games.
I'm with you on that, but
I have some catching up to do with my beloved Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah,
and I think at this point I'd rather watch the eliminated Toronto Raptors.
I think it's okay to save our sanity. And
I might even take up Formula One, yeah, or maybe even Korean baseball.
You're
digging. Maybe I'll rewatch The Last Dance. You know what? This is going to pay me to say, but the girlfriend's got me hooked on RuPaul's Drag Race. So maybe we'll just binge a couple seasons of that, or crush out some Grey's Anatomy until the playoffs start. And yeah, anything except for that, I think, Brad, if I'm being brutally honest with you.
Well, I hope you do enjoy the playoffs. I am looking forward to the playoffs. I just want to get there sooner rather than later.
Oh, you and I both, man. Yeah, I'm excited.
And we'll see what happens in the off season, and hopefully we can have you back on again in the off season. Everybody needs to make sure they check you out on Twitter at Audie James. Great stuff every single night from Audie. And
thank you. I try. I've been getting creative with these tweets too.
You got good stuff every night.
I try to bring my A game on the old Twitterverse. So
every night. But appreciate you coming on the show again, and hopefully we can talk further this off season while the moves happen. We hope, and as we move into next season with a new hope, and yeah, have a great summer, and I appreciate you coming on.
For sure, Brad. Thanks. Be well.
Inside Edge Hockey News, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans, time to talk about a little Flames news, and plenty of it this week, and we'll roll through it quick. Josh Leivo was removed from the COVID protocol list late last week. He is healthy. His wife did have some symptoms and is doing better, and his kids managed to get through, thankfully. Good to go. So that's great news. We'll see how Josh Leivo produces down the stretch in those final few games. Let's move on and talk about Milan Lucic. As his name is been named, he has been named the Flames nominee for the Bill Masterton Trophy, which is given to the NHL player who best exemplifies qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to the sport of hockey. On a side note with Milan Lucic, many of them in Calgary calling him a hero, as he has decided to waive his no-move clause, exposing him in the Seattle Kraken expansion draft. Let's see what happens with that and where we go, and if Milan Lucic is part of the Calgary Flames next year. Glenn Gauden played in the Ottawa win and had an assist on the fourth goal of the night, and it was his first NHL point. Congratulations, Glenn Gauden, and we're really hoping and counting that he takes a step next year and can battle for a roster position, and hopefully we can infuse some of these prospects into this team here in the near future and reap some rewards of draft picks that we have high hopes for in Calgary. Dustin Wolf, a seventh-round draft pick that we have really high hopes for the future in goal in Calgary, finishes his WHL career with a record of 106-34-4-2, 24 shutouts. That's his second all-time in WHL history. He has a 1.84 goals against average, second all-time, a .935 save percentage. This kid is putting up unbelievable numbers. If he tore up the Western Hockey League, it'll be interesting to see how that translates as he develops in Stockton of the American Hockey League. Sean Monahan, it is reported that he will not play the final four games against the Vancouver Canucks. Elliot Friedman reported that he is scheduled for hip surgery next week and will be ready for full participation come training camp time. A nagging injury that has Monahan needing surgery to repair, and we wish him the best, and hopefully we have a speedy recovery and have him back in camp next year. Flames heading to the World Championships. There is three of them, as one prospect, two players. The prospect is Pettersson. He will be with Norway. And, yeah, Dylan Dubé, Andrew Mangiapane will don the jerseys of Team Canada. We wish them the best. And for players like that, I don't mind going because it'll help them develop. And it'll be really fun to see how they do and how it goes for them. We wish them the best. Let's talk about in the division, the North Division. And might be the last time we talk about it. Well, no, we'll talk about it on the next episode too. But the North Division, with a few games left to play, Vancouver 5 to go, Ottawa 1, Montreal, Winnipeg 1, Edmonton, Toronto 2, Calgary 4. Standings are pretty set. The playoffs are locked, as we will see a first-round playoff matchup with the number 1 Toronto Maple Leafs against the number 4 Montreal Canadiens. The first time since 1979 these two meet. It is huge for the country of Canada and also huge for Sportsnet, as they are going to have monster review or ratings for this series, which I think will be lopsided, and we're going to get to the prediction here in a minute, and we'll go into that. Number 2 Edmonton will take on number 3 Winnipeg. McDavid is firing on all cylinders. We've talked about that on previous shows, and Mike Smith has been really, really good this year. Actually, Mike Smith's been exceptional. And if he could do what he did for Calgary in the playoffs, look out. Our not-so-friendly friends up north could go on a long, long run. Winnipeg has been in straight fail mode lately. But I don't know. The Hellebuck factor is there. And let's segue into my predictions. Montreal fans are not going to like me. After watching Montreal stumble, stutter, and I don't even know, fall backwards into the playoffs, as Calgary was almost able to catch them, I have no idea. I don't know that they'll be much of a match for a high-powered Toronto team. Now, I know Toronto has a tendency to bow out in the first round. And is it possible? Yes. But with all the injuries Montreal has, the lack of scoring that Montreal has, and the uncertainty of Carey Price in net, and the fact that even if Carey Price is back, is Carey Price still the same Carey Price of 10 years ago? Can he do this? My gut says no. Now, I may get proven wrong. But I'm going to make a bold prediction, and I don't think Toronto loses a game in this series, and I think they roll them in 4. As for the other series now, this might get a little bit more bold. I am going to go Winnipeg in 7, and here's why. I think Winnipeg's deeper. I don't think their defense is very good, but I don't think Edmonton's defense is very good. I think Edmonton is super high-powered, and their depth is much, much improved, but not quite to what Winnipeg's is. I think Nikolaj Ehlers is huge. Connors is going to have a good playoffs. I think there's going to be some struggles for Edmonton's defense with this team. And why I think Winnipeg will win this in 7 is I think Connor Hellebuck will out-duel Mike Smith. And I know Mike Smith's been really good, but I've also watched Mike Smith be very, very bad. And that's what my gut tells me. It's a prediction, man. It's a prediction. I got Winnipeg in 7, Toronto in 4, and you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I had Winnipeg coming out of the North at the beginning of the year, and I still think Winnipeg will come out of this, even though lately this team has been god-awful bad. I still got them coming out of the North. On to the listener poll. Listener question, not poll. I didn't do a poll this week. I did a listener question, and it was a good one. And the question was, do you think a full rebuild is the best option for future Flames success? No. I know a lot of people think that the best thing to do is just to get really, really bad and get a number one draft pick or hope to get a number one draft pick and go from there. The problem that people don't take into consideration is there's no guarantee the draft picks pan out, and Here's a newsflash, Calgary Flames fans. We haven't really been that good at drafting. We haven't. So there's no guarantee. Plus, we didn't sign Jacob Markstrom to his deal. Have him come in for 1 year and then us say, sorry, bud, we're going to tear down completely and we're going to suck for 5 years. And sorry about that. Not happening. Third thing, we didn't hire Daryl Sutter to a 2 more years after this year to tear down and have him with a bunch of young players. Daryl Sutter's anything but that. He is a veteran playing player coach, and that's not going to happen. And the third thing, money. It's tough to sell tickets when you're terrible. And with this team needing hype and excitement and attendance to solidify this new arena, now is not the time for a rebuild. Now, if there was more guarantees with a rebuild, I could see maybe going that direction. And a lot of fans and a lot of listeners think that just because Pittsburgh did a complete rebuild and won a few years later, that's what happens. Well, ask our not-so-friendly friends in Edmonton how rebuilds work. Ask Buffalo how rebuilds work. Ask New Jersey how rebuilds work. They don't always go as planned. Believe me, they don't.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, there is 4 games still, yes. I know not many people are talking about the final 4 games, and I'm not really either because I'm not so sure I'm going to spend a lot of time watching and critiquing these games like I do normal games. I'll give you the schedule, so if you're really, really bored, you can watch. The 13th, tomorrow night, I'm recording this on Wednesday. The Thursday night, Calgary plays 7 p.m. against the Canucks in Calgary. On the 16th, Sunday at 7:30 Pacific, which would be 8:30 Mountain Time, Calgary is in Vancouver Sunday night. They are also in Vancouver on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock Mountain Time. Come back home for the final one on May 19th, which is Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 Mountain Time as we get day games because playoffs will be going on, which is crazy, but it is the way it is. All 4 games against the Vancouver Canucks. Kind of a race to the bottom of the standings for higher draft picks. This might be interesting seeing who battles to see who loses the most. Is that a possible? Is that reality? Or do we go out there and see what we got out of some young players and see what we got in store for us next year? We are back May 26th for our next episode. We will take next week off as the Flames hit the golf course. I'm getting at the golf course a little bit next week. We're back May 26th with, some poll questions on what happens with the future of the Flames. We'll also talk a little bit of North Playoff Division. I like the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, thanks to all our listeners. We truly do appreciate it as we wind down Season 2 of Flames Unfiltered. Thanks for following us on social media at Flames Unfiltered. Thank you for everybody who has subscribed on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey News. Thank you for all who have rated reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for subscribing. Man, we couldn't do it with all you guys. We sure love talking Flames hockey with you. And we're back 2 weeks. We'll talk a little bit more as this season is about in the books. And this offseason could be one of the most interesting in Calgary. It really could. Have a good week. Stay safe. Enjoy the playoffs.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Playoffs! Yeah, baby! Playoffs! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.